wonderful hymn. 63 years ago, next week, long while, isn't it? In the south of England, I sat at the back of a gospel hall, having listened to a Scotsman preaching the gospel. And it was through the verse that is in the Bible that is based upon that hymn, or the hymn that is based upon that verse, that I came to know Jesus Christ as my own Savior. So verse say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed out of death into life. There, as a boy of 14, I trusted Christ as my own Savior, 63, just on 64 years ago. Wonderful thing to get saved. I was thinking, when I was thinking about the meeting here this evening, of that which was perhaps the chief reason why I trusted Christ those many years ago. I knew all about the coming of the Lord Jesus. I knew his coming could take place at any time. I knew that if he came, I should be left. I knew enough about the Bible to know that if I was left, I would be lost forever. Thinking that possibly in our gathering here this evening, we have a number of folk. And you know the gospel. You know the way to be saved. Sunday by Sunday, maybe year by year, you have put off trusting Christ as your own Savior. I want to talk to you about what will happen to you if Christ should come tonight and you are left. A great Scottish preacher once said in the south of England long before my day that the most terrible word in the English language after the coming of Christ would be just be one of four letters. Left. Left. Left forever. Left for eternity. Left and lost and never could be saved. So I want to read to you in a little book in the New Testament, and it's called the Second Epistle to the Thessalonians. I want to read to you from chapter 1 and verse 7. You'll listen to the words, won't you? And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, declaring vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. You say, just what do you mean about the coming of the Lord Jesus? Well, if I came down from this platform, I'm not going to, don't worry, but if I came down from this platform and went round the majority of the folk in this hall, and I asked them, do you expect the Lord Jesus to come at any minute? They almost invariably would say yes. I tell you what they would be talking about. The epistle just before this one in my Bible says something like this. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If I ask the majority of people here tonight, I say, do they expect the Lord Jesus to come? They would say yes, and they would mean just what those verses are talking about. What are those verses are talking about? They're talking about a moment when the Lord Jesus is going to come out of heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Dead Christians will be raised, and then every living Christian will be caught out of this world to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, says the Bible. You know, as a boy of 14, I was absolutely scared of that. For I thought, and I thought rightly, of course, that at any moment the Savior might come. All my relatives were Christians. My mother was the Salvation Army preacher. My father was a gospel preacher in the gospel hall. They both trusted the Lord Jesus as their own Savior. They both were ready if the Savior came. And if he came, I knew I would be left. And I would be lost forever, for I was not saved. My dear friend, let me ask you, are you saved? Come on now. The people in the center of the hall, are you saved? The young folks over that side, are you saved? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus? For I tell you, listen, 1 second after Christ has come is too late to be saved. And it will be too late forever. There is no second chance. Once Christ has kept a step from the very throne of God into the air and given that shout, and every Christian will be gone, there will be no possibility of anyone in this hall who's heard the gospel ever getting saved. So, my dear friend, young or old, let me tell you tonight, if Christ comes tonight before we finish this meeting and you are left and you don't know the Savior, you will be lost forever. The Bible talks about that. It talks about what people will do when they are left, when the Savior comes. It says this, you will stand and you will begin to say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. It says you'll stand. Why does it say that? Well, the Bible's a Jewish book, and Jews always stand to pray. So what it means is this, that when Christ has come and you are conscious that every Christian's gone, what an awful moment that would be. If sitting in this building tonight, the platform suddenly became empty. Maybe 90% of the people suddenly missing, and you were left. And it would dawn upon your mind that what that preacher said was true, that Christ had come, and you were left. I tell you, you wouldn't be like a Jew and stand to pray, but you'd possibly get down on your knees, or maybe you'd reach up as high as you could, say, oh God, open heaven and let me in. For then you'd long to be saved. Let me repeat, 1 second after Christ has come is too late to be saved. Some folks here tonight, you're not saved. Some young folks particularly, and you belong to Christian families, and father's saved, and mother's saved, and your brothers and sisters are saved. And if Christ came, they'd go to heaven immediately, and you would be left. The tragedy of going home tonight to an empty house. Nobody left there but you. Tragedy of passing houses where you know that Christians live, and those houses, nobody in them, all gone. Every Christian gone to heaven. That is exactly what is going to take place when Christ comes. Let me tell you, it could take place tonight. I told you I've been saved 63 years. And for those 63 years I've been trying to study my Bible. I acknowledge I don't know half enough about it even yet. But I tell you, there's nothing in this book to be fulfilled before the Savior comes. Nothing. The next event in the calendar of heaven is a shout from heaven, and every Christian will be gone. I repeat, if you are left, you are lost forever. Now, suppose you were left, what happens then? My Bible says you'll pray to be saved when it's too late. My Bible teaches me you'll panic then, when it's too late to be saved. What after that? Listening. 7 years plus. 7 years plus. The Bible goes in for dates now. 7 years plus. Possibly a little bit more than 7 years. And what we read about in the book of Thessalonians will become true. What's it say? 7 years plus after every Christian is missing from Vancouver and every Christian missing from the whole wide world. 7 years plus. What's it say? The Lord Jesus shall be revealed out of heaven with all his mighty angels in flaming fire, declaring vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the expression, obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? My dear boy, you're here tonight. Do you know the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? You heard it from your parents. You heard it from your Sunday school teacher. You heard it in gospel meetings. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You would sum it all up in that lovely verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The message of a God of love who wants to save you and doesn't want you to perish. You're the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news from heaven, how you can be saved from all your sins and know it, and saved for heaven and saved from hell. What a wonderful message. The gospel. What's this verse say? It says the Lord Jesus shall be revealed out of heaven with all his mighty angels in flaming fire, declaring vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel that you know? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, that God gave to die for you at the place called Calvary? Have you come to the Lord Jesus and trusted him as your Savior? Have you received him into your heart to be your very, very own Savior? Have you now? Have you obeyed the gospel? You know what it is to obey? Of course, all children know what it is to obey. Sometimes they hear what mother says and they just ignore it. Some naughty wee boys and girls hear what their mother says and they say, shan't. But they obey not what mother says. And God says now, here's the gospel. It tells about the Lord Jesus, the lovely Son of God who went to Calvary and died on behalf of sinners. And God says, if you believe in him, you will not perish. Have you believed in him? Or have you not believed in him? Have you rejected him or neglected to trust Christ as your own Savior? You have not obeyed the gospel. You say not obeyed the gospel means this. You've heard the gospel. You understand its terms. You know the way to be saved. You've seen it in the Holy Scriptures. And you have not obeyed it. Up to this moment now, you may have intended to obey it. You may have said, when I'm older, I'll obey it. You may have said, when I'm 14 or 21, like I did years ago, then I'll obey the gospel. But I want to enjoy life a little bit longer, and I want to enjoy the world. And after all, it does sound a bit old-fashioned, this gospel business. And you have neglected and put off trusting Christ as your own Savior. God looks down, he says, that boy, that man, that girl, that woman knows the gospel, but has never obeyed it. What's he say? The Lord Jesus revealed out of heaven with all his mighty angels in flaming fire, declaring vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Declaring vengeance on you, my dear boy. Declaring vengeance on you, my dear man. Declaring vengeance on you, my dear girl, my dear woman. Vengeance? What's vengeance? Vengeance is stored up anger. Stored up anger. And the God of love, because he loves you, and he's offering you tonight salvation full and free, he's holding back his anger. He's holding it back. He's held it back until tonight. And he gives you the opportunity of being saved now. You can be saved tonight, but the moment will come when he won't keep his anger forever. He won't keep on holding it back. And if the Lord Jesus came tonight and you were left 7 years plus, and the Lord Jesus will come out of heaven in flaming fire, declaring vengeance on you. Vengeance on some boy or girl here. Vengeance on some man or woman here who knows the way to be saved and has never bowed to the claims of Christ, never come in all your need and trusted him as your own Savior. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. You're missing something if you're not saved, but you dare to put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. And ah, yes, he won't keep his anger forever. One day the Christ of God will come and take away every Christian, and you'll be left, and I repeat, 7 years after that, he'll come declaring vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What will happen to the folk who are left like that when he comes? It says, who shall be punished? Why, no, we're in a world where we don't believe in punishment. You mustn't punish children now. And you mustn't punish criminals now. And you must be more sympathetic to the criminals than you are to the folks who are hurt. But the God of heaven believes in punishment. And he says, who shall be punished? Punished? Oh, you deserve to be punished tonight. But God wants to save you, wants to forgive you, wants to blot out every one of your sins, and that's why he sent the Savior from heaven, in order that on Calvary's cross he might be punished instead of you. And the Bible says, he bare my sins and he bore my punishment in his own body on the tree. Yes, God wants to forgive you tonight. He's offering you salvation. He wants you to be saved. Suppose in your foolishness you neglect his great salvation. Suppose in your foolishness you do not obey the gospel and you are left, listen, who shall be punished? So tonight it's salvation or punishment. You say that's new. No, it's not. John 3:16 was everlasting life or perish. And tonight it's salvation or being left. Punishment. Got it? Two alternatives. Where do those two alternatives lead? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction out of the presence of God? Out of the presence of God? To stand before the great white throne, and when your name's not found in the list of those that have trusted the Savior, to be taken and to be cast into the lake of fire, out of the presence of God. And out of the presence of God forever. What a terrible thing to be sitting in a gospel meeting like this tonight with men pleading with you to trust the Savior and the Spirit of God working in your heart that you might respond to Christ, and you dare to go away from this meeting unsaved. What lies before you? You shall be punished with everlasting destruction out of the presence of God. Say, are you so sure, sir, that if Christ comes and I'm left, I cannot be saved? Quote you just one more text, and I'm looking at the clock very carefully, for I must share this meeting with my dear brother. To quote you another text, it says this, God shall give them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned that obeyed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. What does that mean? It means men and women who heard the truth about God's salvation, heard the way in which they can get their sins forgiven, heard the way in which they can get right with God and be sure of heaven. And they fail to trust the Savior. They haven't received the truth. They have not trusted Christ. And they are left when the Savior comes. What's the Bible say God will do? The Bible says to make sure you don't get saved, God will give you a strong delusion that you should believe the lie that is the Antichrist in order that you all might be damned that obey not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the God of heaven loves you tonight. He sent his Son to die for you. He offers you free and full salvation, and he urges you to trust Christ while the day of opportunity is yours, for now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Friend, don't play with God. Don't play with God's salvation. The day of grace will come to an end. Your day of opportunity will come to an end. And if you are left, what lies before you? Can I repeat it? Everlasting destruction out of the presence of God. The God of heaven deludes your mind to make you believe that the Antichrist who's coming to govern the world is the real Christ. And why will God do that with you? In order that you might be them. Tonight, you can be saved. Tonight, you can get your sins forgiven. Tonight, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to be sure of heaven. He wants you to trust Christ. Don't be foolish enough to go on delaying. Don't be foolish enough to go on saying no to Christ. Don't be foolish enough to leave this meeting tonight and say, well, I'll put it off for another Sunday before I really decide whether I'm going to be saved and trust the Savior or not. I tell you, my friend, before next Lord's Day, before this night closes, Jesus may come. And I repeat, one second after Christ has come is too late to be saved. Dear Raymond Ashby wrote some lovely lines, and one verse is this. When he's speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus and the door of heaven opening and then shutting after every Christian has gone in and all the unconverted left, he said, oh, the anguish of the moment when your destiny is seen. Oh, the wildness of the longing for the things that might have been. When you cease your friend, your restless, fretful beating on that dark, forbidding gate. And the echo of forever in your heart is, I'm too late. May you think it over. Listen to our dear brother. And before you leave the meeting tonight, get right with Christ and get gloriously saved.